Reformed Church.
We know that when God gives us his word, that what he speaks to us about is what he's trying to produce in us. There's a very, very simple principle, right, with the parable of the seed and the sower, and how, you know, the word of God produces fruit. The word of God produces results. So when God speaks to you about something, it's actually quite encouraging and really cool that he's not speaking to you just to inform you. The Lord says things to us to produce that thing in us. So if God teaches you on healing, he's trying to heal your body. You know, like that's actually what is the result of that word he's speaking to you. And of course, other repercussions as well with that, you know, it's life for other people as well and all that. But when he teaches you something about raising the dead, it's like it's because he's producing that in you. That's the seed is not just sitting in your head. He's speaking to you to produce that in you. And it was something specific that I guess I'll get into a little bit here too. It's just something that I was sort of realizing that even when God gives you a word concerning your specific situation, something that isn't necessarily just a general gospel promise, but something that he says, you know, about your like where you're at, right? And sometimes we get words like that. The gospel ultimately is good enough just by itself, you know, the things that we all have in common just to know that, yep, by Jesus' stripes I was healed, and, you know, Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and, you know, it's the Lord that gives us power to get wealth, and, you know, whatever it happens to be, the fact that, you know, our family members are sanctified by believers in that family, and, like, there are really cool things to be able to understand, and those apply to everybody. But sometimes God will take a specific thing about resurrection, a specific thing about healing, a specific thing about whatever it is, and tell you something specific about how that applies to you. Sometimes we'll get words from God that way. And you know what, though? I've said this in the past, too, but in regards to Abraham and how he received the ability to have children and have Isaac, we've told you in the past that Romans 4 explains that it wasn't just the specific word to Abraham that he was going to have a son that caused him to have a son, right? We don't receive by, you know, in other words, Abraham doesn't receive by faith in Isaac, which is kind of what that would be if he just believed, oh, I'm going to have a son. And if you believe you're going to have a son hard enough, then you'll have a son. Like, that's not how receiving from God works. The Bible says that, right, in Romans 5:2, that Jesus is our access through faith in him. So, the faith is regarding Jesus being our access. And so, actually, if you read Romans 4, it explains that Abraham did believe a promise from God to receive the ability to have a son, but the promise he was believing that caused him to have a son wasn't, Abraham, you're going to have a son. The promise that he believed was what Romans 4 calls being heir of the world. And to sum that up very, very quickly, that's just talking about the new earth and the resurrection age and how that power lived in Abraham. And when Abraham believed that, regarding the resurrection that he had for his body, which had to do with his sort of aged body at the time, he believed that God gives life to the dead because he believed he had the things of the new earth, or as Hebrews 6 says, he believed that he had the power of the age to come living on the inside of him. He believed that he was not a part of this present world, but he was working in a power that was of the next age. That's the promise that Romans 4 says that he believed that caused him to have a son. But let me kind of give you this also. It was not unimportant, though, that he believed he was going to have a son. That's not what caused him to receive, but it was an indication of his faith in Jesus, the fact that he could believe that he was going to have a son. If God tells someone who is, physically speaking, too old to have a child and says you're going to have a son, it's actually an evidence for someone to believe that, like Abraham did. It's an evidence of what he believes in regarding Jesus and what he has in Christ that he could actually say, yes, I believe I'm going to have a son. Because it's only through Jesus that, you know, for him and Sarah, who are beyond the age to have children, it would only be through Jesus that they would have that ability. So I guess there's two kind of beliefs here that I could say, which are really sort of tied into one. That is, Abraham believed he had the power of the age to come and life from the dead, resurrection for his body. But then that belief, because he knew he had resurrection for his body, that's the belief that actually caused him to receive. But when the Lord said, you're going to have a son, that's actually also the belief that enabled him to believe that he was going to have a son. And if Abraham didn't believe, and if God said, you're going to have a son, and Abraham said, you know what, like, I'm too old to have a son, people don't have children at my age, that would be a bad thing. But why? Because not because of the belief itself per se, but because of what it denotes. Because the fact that when you say, if you're not believing that you're going to have a son, it's showing your disbelief regarding Jesus. Same thing with Zechariah. When the Lord told Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, he was the father and mother of John the Baptist, God told Zechariah that he was going to have a son, that Elizabeth was going to have a son, and he didn't believe it. And God shut his mouth until John was born because he didn't want Zechariah spreading his unbelief to Elizabeth, which obviously would have prohibited her from having the son. So God just shut his mouth at the time so that he wouldn't be able to speak to her because of that unbelief. But the funny thing is, again, once you know that it's faith in Jesus that's necessary, why would it be so important that Zechariah didn't believe that he could have a son or that Elizabeth could? Because, again, of what it denotes. His unbelief regarding the word of God speaking to him saying you're going to have a son denoted that he didn't believe in the ability that Jesus provided him to have a son with Elizabeth at that time. And so you can see that it's very important how we treat the word of God even with our circumstances, not because of the circumstance itself, and that's how you receive. Again, if God says, you know what, you're having a financial problem, and God says, you know what, it's in such and such a time, this bill is going to get paid, or you're going to be out of debt, or something like that. Okay, that's a good thing, and you should believe that. But you believing that is not what's causing you receiving. What you believing, that's actually an evidence of the fact you believe that it's God that gives you the power to get wealth. That's the blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22, that makes a man rich, right? Like, these are promises that we have in Christ that sort of carry on into our situational beliefs, you could say. So it is important to believe when God says, hey, you know what, this is going to happen. Right? We've been talking about things even with the church building and things like that. It's important that we believe those things. And actually, when God gives you a word specifically, or just something from the gospel, whether it's that or whether it's a situational thing like you're going to have a son or whatever that may be, when you believe these things because of, you know, again, not to, you know, rehash this again, but because of the fact that when you quote unquote believe you're going to have a son, when you believe that, it denotes faith in Jesus over here. It can be an evidence of, because of that, you can actually, not can, you will hasten that manifestation in you. Sometimes we're always talking about God's timing, right? Like, oh, you know, it's all in God's timing. Well, it's actually not all in God's timing. There may be certain things that God wants you to do at specific times, but as far as you're receiving from God, it's not about God's timing. Everything between us and the Lord is always Him being patient with us. Sometimes we just feel like we're being patient with God all the time. He's patient with us. Let me show you a verse real quick. Because He wants us to believe His word, and we can actually hasten a manifestation, make it come out quicker, if we just say, you know what, Lord? When You speak something to me, I'm going to remember it. That's keeping the seed in the ground, right? If it's situational, you need to remember that. If God says you're going to have a son, you need to say, you know what? It's not just about that word, but it's that word that I believe because of what I know I have in Christ. I will have a son because I believe that You've given me resurrection for my body, Lord, which enables me to have a son. Those are all the things that are really the important thing right there. It's not, again, just about the word itself, but we need to treat the word of God with care. And when we believe the word that He's given us, and we just, and how do you believe the word of God? You remember it. If you just remember the word of God, if you just keep the word of God in your heart and think about the word of God, when God says something to you, think about it. With that keeping the seed in the ground, so to speak, that's actually what produces that manifestation. I don't believe that Abraham went decades without having a son because it was all in God's timing. I believe that, as with anything, it's as you'll see the fruit when the seed grows. That's when it's going to happen. It's not God, us waiting around for God. God is not tapping His toes, you know, or tapping His foot at us thinking like, you know, when are you going to believe here? You know what? There's a time of maturity and stuff. And if you're believing the word of God, the things He's spoken to you, God is patient with you. Yeah, let's do this together. I'm gonna take you every step of the way through this, but we need to accept the Lord's shepherding to that end. We need to accept the Lord's shepherding and His guidance all the way through, and then you'll see that manifestation as you believe. But like even regarding, it's funny. One thing that people definitely think that they're waiting for, which we are waiting for that, but they definitely think, though, is in sort of all in God's timing, is Jesus' second coming. It's a perfect example. People just think, well, oh, Jesus, please come quickly, come quickly. And there's nothing wrong with saying, Jesus, come quickly. But when you think it's kind of in his timing, that's the problem. Listen, God is always being patient with us. Like, that's just always the case. It's never that we're, like, waiting around for God to fix things or to you know, oh, just waiting on God. It's like, it's always him being patient with us. And you can see that in just, I'll just close here in 2 Peter 3:9. I'll just read this to you, and then we'll stop. But it just says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. In other words, he's not slow and slothful. But it's funny, it says, but is long-suffering to usward. Long-suffering to usward. And it says, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So this verse is a perfect example of, you could apply this to pretty much anything God speaks to you, any promise. So you look at what he says about his promise about Jesus' second coming. God is not being slow. He said he's long-suffering. That means patient. He's patient to usward. He's being patient with us. He's being patient with people. God is waiting on people. If you say it's all in God's timing, obviously that means you're waiting for him. And even Jesus' second coming, the Bible says that we can hasten his coming because we're not waiting on him. God is being patient with us. He's being patient with us to grow in our knowledge. He's being patient with people to come to salvation because he's not willing that any should perish. So God is never, we're never in a position where we are waiting on God's timing for us to receive. The seed produces the fruit. If you want to see the fruit, then get the seed. If you want to see the fruit, then just get the Word of God and start learning the Word of God on a continual basis. Because again, getting the Word of God once could be a good thing, but you need to continue in that word in order to get the fruit. I said this even last week, and I'll just stop here. But the difference between the people in the parable of the seed and the sower that got results versus two of the people in that parable that didn't get results was simply that one continued in the Word of God and one did not. That's the difference between seeing fruit in your life and not seeing fruit. It's not that if you receive the Word of God, you're going to see fruit in your life. It's not that faith in God's promises is going to produce fruit. Faith doesn't produce fruit. Faith doesn't produce results. Faith, when it's mixed with patience, produces results. Okay, I'll say that one more time and then we'll stop there. Faith, or believing God's word, or hearing God's word, doesn't produce results in your life. Nothing. Faith regarding healing, faith regarding, you know, a financial trouble, or faith regarding what Jesus provided regarding your family, or anything, that doesn't produce anything in your life. Faith, when it's mixed with longevity, faith on a long scale, faith for the long haul, understanding Jesus and meditating on his word for the long haul, that's what Luke 8 says. It says they bear fruit with patience. They bear fruit with continuance. It's continuance in the word of God that produces the fruit, not just receiving the word of God itself. So the discouragement even that a lot of people have with, I believe the word of God and it didn't happen. So then immediately it becomes, well, it must not be God's timing. No, God's always waiting on us to believe what Jesus already did 2,000 years ago. We are never waiting for God. 2,000 years ago is a long time ago for Jesus to have provided everything that you ever need. He's only going to make one payment. He's never going to come back and die for you again. That means one payment for one provision for all time. God is, we are therefore never waiting on God to receive from him. He is always being patient with us to believe the things that he's already done. And once we believe those things, we see that manifestation. But as I said, we need to continue in the Word of God and continue believing these things, because without continuance, read Luke 8 for yourself. It says they bear fruit with patience. That means the people that continue in the Word are the ones that get the results. The people that hear the Word of God and love it and rejoice over it and then they stop, never will see results off of that Word, ever. It's only those that continue to the end with the Word of God that are going to receive salvation or receive any results in their life. It's continuance in the word that produces fruit. So if you believe the word of God and say, I didn't see fruit yet, don't chalk it up to, it must not be God's timing. No, say, actually, it must be, I need to continue in it. That's what's happening. I need to continue the word of God. When you continue the word of God, you're going to see fruit in your life, but not before you continue long in meditating on his word and learning the truth.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.